Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hope you had a wonderful weekend because it has been a longer weekend for me. Just celebrated my anniversary yesterday. And so, you know, marriages require maintenance too. You can't work all the time. So I had to take some time out and hang out with my honey. So enjoyed that yesterday. Thank you, honey. Anyway, so for those of you that aren't aware or don't know, today there's some discussion in D.C. about infrastructure, supposed to be. We'll see if that happens between our leader, Commander-in-Chief, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer. But I wanted to not just focus on that because you'll hear a lot of what's going on up there, and we may touch on it, but wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on here with our infrastructure. And you, if you have just breezed through Orange County recently, you've noticed a variety of changes in that infrastructure, whether you liked it or not. And so wanted to talk a little bit about it. So I talked to my friend Bruce, who we've had on the show before, and I'm like, who can we talk to about this and might have a little insight and opinion about it? And so he recommended our guest this morning, Ms. Luana Gelzer. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. Quite well.
Good. Good. Thanks for taking the time out. I know it was last minute, but glad to have you on. So for those of you, I'm just going to say this, for those of you that aren't let's say, astute about the word infrastructure, I have posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, Merriam-Webster and a couple of other definitions of infrastructure. But basically, it's those things that kind of keep us running and going and fluidly, whether it's highways, whether it's plumbing, a variety of things. So tell our audience a little bit about yourself, those that don't know you.
Well, I always introduce myself as one of your most concerned citizens you'll ever meet. I understand what civic engagement is, and I understand what a democracy is. And so I have to always remind my elected officials, whether I voted for them or not, you represent the community, and therefore the top of the food chain is the citizen. So you are reporting to us, not the other way around. So I constantly remind them that, and I take it upon myself to be civically engaged in what is going on in my community and to share that information for those who can't make those meetings a lot of times. So that's who Luana Gelzer is, a concerned citizen.
All right. And just so that you'll know, too, she is a member of the she's actually not a member. She is the chapter president of the National Action Network chapter here in Central Florida.
So, yes, I am.
Among
one
other,
of the hats I wear.
I was going to say, you know, you got to stack them tall, I guess, if you're wearing them all at once, man.
Yes.
So, like I said, they're discussing it in D.C., but it's more than just a D.C. issue. You know, the I-4 ultimate or whatever you want to call it right now is one of the main things that is causing a bunch of chaos here. Hopefully when it's all said and done, it will be helpful. But, I mean, there's been some glitches already. There have been some expenses that weren't prepared for already. So, it's like you said, you're in the trenches. You're involved. You're on top of it. So what has been your biggest concern in terms of infrastructure issues here in Central Florida?
First of all, I consider infrastructure as something that starts locally. It's about what happens. So local government is so important to me. So I'm looking at the infrastructures as far as sewer, sidewalks, making it safe for a community. So I definitely look at the Orange County government budget and the City of Orlando budget because I reside within the City of Orlando. And I go to that line item, and I see how much money is earmarked. But more so, I look at how much money is earmarked for that community, and I look and see how much is going to the districts that are urban communities or communities of color. And I'm not pleased when we are already behind the eight ball and then you don't have money earmarked year after year for repaving roads and things like that. And so I question the ability for our elected officials to understand the major impact when we are left behind. Our community seems to be left behind on a lot of things. And then when there's a tragedy or a storm or something like that, then everybody want to talk about it. But you had the opportunity to put that in your budget and make sure that we're receiving the same funding that other districts are. And so some of our elected officials I've called out because that's not a priority for them, not understanding how important that is for the community. So
basically they're being more reactive than proactive and not realizing that when you neglect one part of the community, you neglect your whole community.
Correct. And if you're not looking and budgets are getting ready to get started around July. And I don't know if anybody understands, they're collecting the data now. So some people, budgets go into place, most of them going into place October 1st. The state goes in place like July 1st. So on a local level, I'm looking at if they're putting any money into that that line item. And if so, how important it is for the community. And so when I see that they're not, even from the get-go, I'm concerned. And I'm just looking at the impact on what is happening to our communities overall when a storm comes through and what happens. And it's not a pleasant sight. So I don't know if it's something we need to talk to our elected officials more about, that this is a serious matter. And it's not about when Highway 50 was flooded from a downpour of rain. It was flooded. Cars were being flooded out. Or what happened to Orla Vista when the hurricane came through.
Yeah.
Or why we and people not went back. See, I'm working with a group that's dealing with disaster resilience and building the infrastructure and the skill sets for communities of color. And Orla Vista is one of the communities I'm in charge of. And no one's gone back to see the eight families had to leave their homes. They never were able to repair those homes. All because they were flooded. And so, you know, people like, I'm sorry. No, this is the most important investment anybody makes in their lifetime. And to have to walk away from that because there's not enough money to repair it or because you didn't do the proper flood zones, maps. No one understood what could happen when you keep removing trees from a community, you keep putting asphalt down, the water has nowhere to go. And so I know I'm talking a lot, but I want to ask this question to your listening audience. When you look in the communities that you reside in, the urban communities, a lot of communities, do you see a lot of industrial parks and a lot of businesses in your community? And then when you look at suburbs or other communities, do you see the same thing? And I'm going to say, no, you don't see the same thing. Because most of the time, urban communities are the dumping grounds with what everybody else don't want in their community. But when you remove so many trees and you pave over dirt, that water has to go somewhere. And if mm-hmm. we're the last to receive the proper infrastructure, we still got community houses on septic tanks in Orange County, and even mm-hmm. within, not in the city limits, but an island in Holden Heights, they're still on septic tanks. People don't understand when you lose power what happened to the septic tank. That's a contamination. That's a problem. So we have all kinds of things that have been dumped in our community. And so if you're not putting the infrastructure first, if you're not putting the proper release as far as when it rains, what are we supposed to do? We're mm-hmm. losing the most important thing we invest in, our homes. And I don't know if I could have walked away from my home because that's still a bill that they have to pay or that was foreclosed on. So their credit is messed up. And so can they go get another home? And it's all because we have elected officials and other individuals who have way more experience than I do or the technical skill to understand you've got to put the money towards infrastructure. You can't wait to the last minute. We already mm-hmm. on the back burner. Put us first. So I always say, I'm going to keep going in and saying, what about this community? What about this community? And so I talk about Paramore. I talk about Holden Heights, Paula Vista, Mercer Drive, mostly Carver Court, Carver Shores. I'm talking about the communities that have been left behind when it mm-hmm. comes to these things. And it's not to say it's your fault. It's to say do your job, and I'm going to hold you accountable. So come budget time, I don't need you to be doing hosting all of these social service programs. I need you to understand I elect you to be public policy, and a public policy issue is to make sure all communities are being treated fairly and getting the same services. And if not, why not? Why not?
But also too, you, like you said, are right up there. You're in their grill, so to speak. But I think there needs to be more of us in their grill. I mean, and I think that what will make some of these people listen is the economic impact, not just to the people that are suffering, but to them. For example, your car gets torn up by a pothole because you haven't bothered to repair the road. Okay, uh-huh. it's on a list somewhere. But you have to come, even after the insurance, you still have to come out of pocket for a lot. I challenge people to start sending the bill to the people that are responsible for the road. You know,
I told you. I mean, I love that idea. It's true. The alignment is, and I just asked everybody, when was the last time your street that you reside on has been paved? And do mm-hmm. you know who your, not elected official, but who that department head, that engineer that's in charge of streets and drainage? I know mm-hmm. who they are, but it's not about LaJuan. It's about each and every one of us understand that they work for us, and they're only going to do for those who are making the most noise. And if you're
right.
not calling and you're not holding them accountable, you're going to be on the bottom of the list. And then when a crisis comes in, then it's too late. So
right.
if you don't
and we
know,
we have to stop waiting for a crisis to happen.
Correct.
Every, you know, we can't get to that point. Is preemptive strike is always better. I understand what you're saying because I did that. I lived out in unincorporated Apopka. And
mm-hmm.
we moved out in an area. It was relatively rural, but there were others. I noticed there were other streets around that were paved or at least had gravel or something. You know, I proceeded to contact my county official, and they did come out and do something. Now, you know, the people around me might not have been happy because you have to pay for it. But, yeah, you have to pay for it. But if it's what you want, you've got to decide how much is worth it to you. You know, and for me, not traveling down a dirt road every day and getting all that stuff sucked into my car, it just making sure that road was safe for my car, it was a whole lot better. I was willing to pay for that.
And I agree with you on that. And most likely, unless it was a new development, you might have already paid for it and you were just getting what you needed back. But like
exactly.
you said, until someone called, you know, I grew up in the inner city in Paramore, and I remember when we first moved to Orlando, it was still dirt roads in on downtown Orlando in the African-American, predominantly African-American community up until 1980. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, mm-hmm. what do you mean? I'm like, no, we're screaming and yelling because we see all of this money being spent on what I can saw the east side of I-4, the east side, you know, of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is unfair. And I was becoming a registered voter. I was really engaged. And I'm like, Mom, this doesn't make any sense. And it was like a lot of people just didn't understand. Your property taxes, we had been paying for it for years, but we had never received the return. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I never forget a flood came. There was a hurricane. It was flooded for like 3 days. You couldn't get
mm-hmm.
into your homes or anything. And then all of a sudden, now they're coming out to evaluate. But there was a crisis. Think I know one lost their lives or anything. Or, you know, there wasn't major flooding in the home. But it just goes to show that to your listening audience or anybody, it doesn't matter where you reside. Why is it always just seems to be a double standard as far as services being received by people of color? Or I don't like to say we're all income challenged or communities that are income challenged compared
mm-hmm.
to those who don't. And you say, well, they're paying more in property taxes. I beg to differ. Over all the years, I paid quite a bit in property taxes, and I'm just looking for the return that everyone else is looking for, just the same type of fairness and treatment and services. And sometimes you have to make a little noise or a lot
mm-hmm.
of noise for people to understand. And I remind Mayor Dyer all the time, you work for me. It's not a dictatorship. And a lot of times our politicians don't want to hear that. Then you're in the wrong line of work. If you
exactly.
don't want to hear democracy and how it's supposed, if I come down there, I've told them on many occasions, if I'm coming to City Hall to speak on an issue, I have a problem. Now, you already got an advantage. The meeting's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How many
That's
people can get
issue.
To a 2
That's
o'clock
all.
Meeting? So you purposely have made it an inconvenience for the people who have to work every day. So now I've made the arrangement to get someone to be at my place of business and do what I need to do, taking off, losing money, to come down there to speak on an issue. Then you get 5 minutes unless I get somebody to yield the time, and you have a problem with that, I shouldn't be there. If I say all the time, if I don't have a problem with what you're doing, I don't have anything to say. But when I do, I'm going to voice my opinion and speak for the voiceless, because a lot of times people can't get off at 2 o'clock to be to a city council meeting and wait on an issue and speak on an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so
exactly.
They don't want to hear that, but it's not about what you want. I did not tell you to run for mayor. I did not tell these people to run for county commissioner. You made that decision. So you have a problem with citizens holding you accountable for the job that you were elected to do, then you're in the wrong field. And I will remind them constantly. When I talked about infrastructure about 6 months ago, people had a problem. I had a community forum on it because I was talking about how it was so much lack of funding in these communities to make an impact. And that's because I was dealing with people out of the Washington, D.C. community, and they were coming in and looking at that we don't even have a hurricane disaster shelter. We don't have anything in place. So
mm-hmm.
with the climate changing, people don't understand when the climate changing, the environment's changing, when all of these things are happening to our community, the storms are going to be worse, meaning they're not going to be levels of 5, they're going to be levels of 6. And when they're levels of 6, what's going to happen to the community that's never gotten anything? the impact will be so devastating that the community, will we recuperate? Will you ever be able to rebuild your home? And people don't understand FEMA and all that. You got to have perfect, got to have great credit. You have to get insurance. It's a lot that people need to be prepared for. But some of this is preventable. Pave a street. Stop building industrial parks in neighborhoods and taking away our wetlands on John Young. And I have to talk about this because people don't understand the correlation between the environment and storms. We have headwaters for the Wakaba River. It starts on John Young and W.D. Judge right there, Princeton, right there. And it was once in Orange County, and they wanted to build an industrial park, and they was in this county told them no. Well, they're next in the city, and the city changed every ordinance to allow them to build. They tore up cut down 2,000 trees. 2,000 trees. Because a wetland absorbs, and it's like a filter of to clean the water before it heads up the river. So now you've removed that and paved over all of that. But what community is it in? Mercy Drive. So tell me what's going to happen if a major flood comes through. Now that you've got all of that, the houses across the street most likely will flood. So you tell me how...
We're going to talk a little more about that. We need to take a quick break. That's okay. That's okay. Because I want to hear more of what you guys talk about. And I wanted to make a comment on something you were talking about, too. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I'm here with Ms. Luana Gelder, and she is a community activist here. She's also a chapter president of the National Action Network. We're talking about infrastructure here in Central Florida. And if you want to comment or ask a question, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you. Caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the yard with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Thanks so much for being. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Luana Gelder. She is just, like she said, a lot of hats, but basically one of our voices of our community here in Central Florida that is calling in the question a lot of what's going on with our, you know, the people that are in charge of our infrastructure, among other things. And one of the things that I wanted to comment about too, Luana, was, you know, when they don't realize when they try to make these industrial areas in these communities that a lot of these communities are already overtaxed, because a lot of those communities are where the smaller houses are built right next to each other, you know, almost on top of each other. This isn't like going out to some of the newer subdivisions where you have a minimum of a quarter acre or a half acre, you know, per lot. You know, these are houses that are butted up almost, you know, butted up against each other. So you have a lot of people in here. That taxes the roads, that taxes the plumbing, that taxes the electrical grid to no end. And so, you know, when they make these decisions, you know, the communities that get left out the most are the ones that are most in need and are the ones that are putting a lot of the pressure on the infrastructure. So how do we, in like you were saying, part of the problem, and I totally agree with you, is something that's been bothering me all for years, is that you have hardworking people who need to have a say, who want to have a say, but they're working one or two jobs and can't get to the meetings when they schedule them, you know, instead of having an evening meeting or something that, you know, maybe early in the morning, you know, something that's a little less inconvenient. We can't say that the meetings are ever going to be convenient because it's a meeting, and they're long sometimes. So how do we get, with the exception of you, how do we get representation from these communities in front of our thing?
That's a hard one, and I wish I could answer that other than to be honest. I'm going to say it. Why do we keep electing individuals for a popularity contest or because they gave book bags to our community or because they gave some toys? That is selling your community so short because they didn't get the book bags. They were donated. You are being bamboozled and used, and it's okay. And so I'm like, I don't know how to tell everybody. The system is designed to keep the voiceless voiceless, meaning find a voice, get behind the voice. If you can make the meeting, you can pick up the phone all day long and call. You can be engaged. If you know the meetings are at 2 o'clock at City of Orlando or the Orange County meetings are at 9 o'clock, and one thing I've noticed with the Orange County meetings is public comment is at the beginning of the meeting. So maybe you can come and say what you need to say and leave, or designate one or two individuals in the community. But I say start even before you go to the meeting. How many of you are working within your community, have neighborhood association or homeowners association, where you look at the needs of your community, you do a needs assessment, what do we need now? What can we put our efforts towards? What is getting ready to happen? Are we sharing information? Because I don't like to consider myself, I'm not an information hoarder. I'm going to share it with you, whether you want to hear it or not. So let's start from there. But that's civic engagement. We put too much trust and too much power in the hands of elected officials. I don't. I remind them constantly, you work for me. And a lot of them don't like to hear it. I didn't tell you to run. If you don't want to hear the truth, you're in the wrong line of work. But too many of us give them a pass. And you have to stop electing officials when you can't tell me one thing they have done for your community other than book bags. Kids don't need books. They got tablets. So what do you think that they are? It's literally saying that's all you worth. That's all you worth to them. And you think that's okay, then you don't know the value of yourself. Then you have to self-evaluate yourself. I know my value, and I know what my parents taught me, and I understand the needs of my community, and I understand we're going to win some battles and we're going to lose some battles, but at least I got up to fight, because if you don't say anything, you've already lost. So clearly our communities needs to understand people are hoping that you will sit on the sidelines and say absolutely nothing. Then they will take care of the ones who making the most noise. And that means not your community, but your commissioner or your other elected official should at least be concerned about your community. And if they're not, it's elections coming up. People, don't put them back in office. Giving them a pay. Don't give the ballots away, absentee ballots. Y'all know about the absentee ballot harvesting that goes on in District 5 and 6 for the city and District 6 and 2 for the county and mostly African-American communities, urban communities. You know. You know what elected officials pay people to go pick up the ballots? And you give your vote away? You've just given your voice away to somebody that value you at $5 to $10. And now you want a street pay? You gave it away too easily. They don't value you.
Yeah.
Because when do they ever talk to you? So I know that's not, but that's what civic engagement is. Go to the budget hearing meetings. Look at the budget. It's all online. Everybody's got smartphones. Look at it. Well, I don't understand it. You know 2 + 2 = 4. Come on now. You might not know everything, but you'll know if they put $2 million in for infrastructure for District 6 or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know if they put any money in for infrastructure or not. You got to do something. We have to stop thinking people will do for us. They're not. They are happy exactly the way it's going. You don't care because your actions are speaking louder than words. Well, I didn't know I could do this. Now you know. Now what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. It's 2019. My family done fought. Everybody family done fought for the right to vote, done fought to do all kinds of things, to be at the table. But doggone it, if you're not at the table, then you're a part of the menu. You've been eaten up. So simple fact, stop being on the menu. Because clearly, if they can get away with it, they will.
Mm-hmm.
The moral fabric of this country has changed. I can't do that. It's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I can't fight everyone's battle. I'm trying to just make it from day to day.
Yeah.
But
and that's why I was talking
people
to you.
Can make a change. Yes.
That's why I was talking to you about, you know, other people coming on board and doing it, because you can't just have just one or two people. Those meetings need to be full. And when they have, and you need to be prepared for those meetings, because like you said, because I hadn't been going to too many of them. I went to one. And, yeah, they have a public comment at the beginning. So that means you have to know what's coming so you can be prepared to speak before they get into the thick of the meeting, because otherwise you've lost the shot, you know.
Well, can I say this? The shortcut. People don't understand. Each government has to post the agenda 48 to 72 hours prior. It's all online. When there's a city
mm-hmm.
council meeting to happen, I am looking to see what the agenda item is going to be. But I have learned from other individuals who share this information, it's not always showing up at the city council or the county meeting. It's going
mm-mm.
to the advisory board meetings because they're setting the agenda. And those meetings sometime are in the evening or in the morning, but you'll understand what is going on and what they're driving the narrative for. The CRA, you know, that meeting, the downtown development. They just had a meeting on about affordable housing yesterday for Orange County. I was
mm-hmm.
there in the room and I looked to see, I was literally upset because I looked at the room and I looked at this task force, and my question
mm-hmm.
was, where will be the accountability when people violate the rules and regulations for affordable housing? So if somebody's living in income-restricted housing, because we had an elected official for 2.5 years for the city of Orlando lived in income-restricted housing. That's a federal offense. That person should have been removed from office.
Oh, wow.
And everybody want to wonder. No, it says you make $30,000 or less, and that person
mm-hmm.
was making $60,000. They had no right to be there. So I looked at that task force, and I looked around the room, and not one of those individuals. I never said they were not good people. I looked at that room, and I knew then it was just going to be another dog and pony show, because they do not understand what someone truly needs when it comes to affordable housing, because they're okay. And you didn't have not one resident that lived under those conditions. And you tell me out of thousands of people, we couldn't find one or two to have on the task force to give the perspective from the people who you're supposed to be helping? Come on.
Yeah.
I didn't say they weren't good people. because I knew some of those individuals. But I'm looking at the makeup. And the makeup, mm-hmm. I know what's best for you. You don't. You haven't walked a day in my shoes. I never said you don't care. But how can you know what I have to deal with from day to day when you don't even want to let me be at the table to tell you or to represent my community as if you're the only expert on what's going on? I know what's best for you. I've had so many people tell people in Paramore, I know what's best for the community. Then why is gentrification and why is this a poor infrastructure? And why do we have so many contaminated locks and problems going on in this community? Why have we went from 20,000 people down to 4,500 people in less than 15 years? If that ain't gentrification, I don't know why. Why do I walk down at the new UCF Valencia campus? They got brand new paved roads. They infrastructure, all their electrical is underground, and then you walk across the street above ground and potholes.
Mm-hmm.
Potholes.
Oh, yeah.
So you tell me you know what's best for me. You don't. What you tell me is your actions are speaking louder that you don't value me as a human being and that I receive the same type of services that the other ones are receiving. People see that all the time. But what you need to do now is, if you see it, say something about it. Say something. It's not right.
That's right. That's right.
And so I'm not here to preach. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. What were you saying? You're not here to preach. But
I'm not here to preach, but it's clearly people stay woke. I know I'm beginning. Wake up. It's 2019. Wake up. Come on, people. Come on.
We're going to take another quick break. We're here with Luana Gelzer. She is she's chapter president of the National Action Network, but she is active in the community trying to speak on her behalf, but others who are in the same situation, you know, that don't have the opportunity to get up and make their voices heard. She's speaking loud and clear. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have a question or comment, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking a little bit about infrastructure. As you, some of you may or may not know, they're having a meeting up in Washington with the president and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. But today we are going down to the nitty-gritty. We're talking about what happens locally. I'm here with Luana Gelzer. And okay, I'm moving kind of in a slightly different direction, but I want to talk to you since I'm sure you've got some insight and some opinions on what I'm going to talk about. But I want to talk about SunRail. I want to talk about transportation in this area and roadway, you know, transportation systems, roadways and stuff that don't have the proper impact, in my opinion. I look at the people, for example, they're building these networks of systems that go to the airport and that go to
the theme parks and stuff like that. But they come from the directions of people that can probably afford to, let's say, drive there. But the people that really need these transportation systems are the people that work there, that are serving the guests that are out there. And there's no SunRail for a lot of those people. And there's no proper means of transportation for a lot of these people. That's my opinion. What can I get some input from you on that?
Well, I agree with you. But you need to understand, we are the tourist capital of the world. And it means most of our revenue comes from that tourist tax dollar. So we must cater to them. Also, we got great lobbyists out of Disney and SeaWorld and all of them. They got great lobbying teams that made sure that they were literally going to be one of the first services. So it would be great for people to get off the plane and get on SunRail or some type of mass transit to take them straight to their destination. That way they ain't got to do a whole lot of things and drive through the communities and stuff like that and see Orlando for what it really is. People don't want to see downtown Orlando. They just want to see Magic Kingdom, the magicness of it. So,
well, that's fine. That's all well and good. But what about the people that have to get there to serve these meals? To wave hi to the guests as they come in, to dress up in these characters and all of this type of stuff, make the beds at the hotels and that thing, What about those people?
You would think by now Disney and all of them have them figured that out and have their own transportation to get them to and fro. I wish I had David Porter that was on this call today because he's really been following the lack of transportation in the links. And I'm going to give you the statistic because we talked about this. Do you not know there's more school buses in Orange County than it is for the three counties that the links bus service. There's more buses for school bus, and it's a smaller population, which means we don't have the infrastructure, the money hasn't gone there to service those community. But who are the ones that are making the beds? Who are the ones that are barely don't even make a living wages? They're the community that people tend to forget exists. And it's they're not their first priority. And it's not right. It's not right, but it happens. And so that gives you another perspective of how people who want to work, people who need service, are the last to receive the services. When it would make it so much better if someone lives in Pine Hills and have to get to Disney, it don't take her or him almost 2 hours to get to work. It would be better if there was an express bus and stuff like that. And it is a few, but it's not enough.
Not enough.
But
not
it's
nearly
not enough. And so I don't know how to tell everybody. This is why I'm saying wake up, because the first priority is the tourist, because without the tourist, there's no job. But
right.
The tourists need to be properly serviced. And if there's not people who can get there, then you go without the proper service. So that's why I said with all the money, Disney and everybody, I would have thought by now you would at least put a little bit more buses on route for that service.
Right.
But that to me makes sense. But, that's not my line of work. I'm just looking from the outside, and I'll never forget, I remember David Porter worked for the Orlando Sentinel, and we had a parent at our child care facility that had to catch the bus to Disney to work, Lake Bonavista. Mm-hmm. And she would drop her child off literally at before we opened, so 6 o'clock, get on the bus to get to work by 8. And then she would get off at 3, maybe 4 o'clock, because she wouldn't take a lunch. So she could get back in time to pick her daughter up before 6 o'clock. First of all, that's too long for a child to be away from the mom. That's 12 hours
right.
a day.
Right.
Second of all, she was spending almost 3.5 to 4 hours a day in transportation to go to some place that most of us would take 30 to 40 minutes. Wasted time.
I know. And then they wonder why a lot of the parents can't make it to meetings for their children at school.
Correct. Which brings up enough, that was true, because I remember they would have the meetings and the parents wouldn't go here in Paramore, because at one time we were going to 11 different elementaries, and finally someone asked, well, why can't the parents still trying to get home from work? And I said, and one teacher asked my mom to host a PTA meeting at her child care facility in Paramore. And that was for the parents. And they could get here to have parent conferences and meetings. That's because the parent asked, I need to meet with these parents. What can I do? Mom said, well, okay, you can have it here. That's community relations, that community talking. But I always felt like that at one time city council meetings didn't always used to be downtown in the chambers. They would come out and have them in the community at 6 and 7 o'clock. Well, too many people started showing up and asking questions, and they say, oh, no, we can't do this. But technically, they're supposed to have those at least quarterly. But unless somebody yelling and screaming. So I'm going to tell you how the city gets around that. When they have their budget hearing meetings, guess what time the budget hearing meeting starts? 5:01.
Okay.
5:01. 5 o'clock.
So you,
well, I think most of us are getting up at 5.
You're still struggling to try to get there.
5 o'clock.
People.
So how many people are in the chambers at 5 o'clock? Yeah, okay. So you have to still get off from work early and hope you don't get stuck in traffic to get to a 5 o'clock meeting. Instead, why not? It can't be 6 o'clock or 7. Why?
Mm-hmm.
That's another story.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna take one last break. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more about what's going on with infrastructure and some other issues around here in Central Florida. I have Ms. LaWanna Gelder on. If you have a question or you want to share your comment, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. This is Steve's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Depp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking infrastructure and other issues on the local level. I'm here with Ms. LaWanna Gelder, and she is just doing so much. Why? How were you? What was the first thing that motivated you in terms of being active to the level that you are now?
My father and my mom, my late father and my mom, I grew up in a community family that when we first moved to Orlando, I just had came from Cocoa, Florida, and it was desegregation, and I just wasn't used to what I was seeing, and my parents always said, she's the white child. I would ask them, why is it like this, Mom? Why? And they supported me. And I have had some ups and downs, and I've questioned things, and I've learned over the years. But overall, I just have to say it was the influence of my parents that just said it's important to have a voice. and stay to your commitment. And don't think it's not been easy, and it has not been repercussions towards my family or me. It has. A lot of times when you speak up, people come after you. I had a dean of a school locally, literally in front of other people, say, oh, she was on her best behavior today. As if I am a grown woman, what do you mean I'm on my best behavior? Are you trying to assassinate my character? You don't even know me. But no, what you're trying to say to everybody is, oh, well, she didn't. No, I ask questions nobody want to know about. So I was just, like, devastated, and it took everything for me not to lose it, but not to look. I just gave her a look like if looks could kill, she got the message. You don't know me. And it's clearly you have listened to people who don't want to hear the truth and what I have to say, and you care to say you. You made up your mind, oh, I'm hard to work with. Well, you've never said good morning to me. And you're a minister? And you're a minister. So you pass judgment on me. How dare you? But see, the average person might not saw it that way. That's because others have tried to do that. Or they would say, oh, she's crazy. I'm not crazy. I can read. I might read slower than the average person, but I read the second and third paragraph, and I ask a question. And I don't understand why we give away that power. I'm not going to let individuals who don't pay a bill in my house determine how I live. And maybe that's how we need to break it down. I got to pay taxes. So you're going to raise my taxes 17.7%, Mayor Dyer, because they did that one time. Our taxes went up 17.7%. For some people, that might not have been a lot of money. But for me, for my property, it was an increase of $1,000 I had to pay. And then I'm watching how you frivolously is spending money throughout the city, but you won't spend money in the community in which I'm paying property taxes for? And I'm supposed to say it's okay? Oh, absolutely not. So, I mean, when you ask the question, it was my parents, but more so, I'm not going to let you just do me any kind of way. I'm not on that plantation. This slavery is over with. I'm not going to allow people to say it's okay that good old boy network and it's just the way it is. Well, LaWanda, that's just the way it is. But that's because you're allowed to stay that way. You say absolutely nothing. Or the ones that I don't dislike, the ones that go to the meeting and then go back and meet with the people and say, well, you know, she's out there and she asked this question. Will you go with me? They laughing at you because they're looking for the crumb snatchers. Because all you doing is getting nothing. You're not getting anything. Crumbs? When people are making millions of dollars, did anybody ask how much the iPhone quarter is? How much that's? That's how many billions? How many billions? And we happy to get a construction job?
And it's going to, part of it's going to be a toll road. That's the one thing. My husband's from Philadelphia. He says, I've never seen so many toll roads until I came down here. He was like, is that the only way they can pay for a road down here?
That's the only way. Yeah, that's what they say because they spend money so many different places. I mean, has anybody really asked? Because I really oppose the money that they spent on the second arena, I suppose the first arena, the sports arena, and the soccer stadium, and the Camping World, whatever name it is this year or this month. I mean, what we need to understand is I have an economics and mathematics background, and maybe I look at it from a different eyes because of that, but I know that sports venues and all of that never bring economic development or growth to a community. It sucks it dry. That's why they're always in communities of color or poor communities. I call it income challenge communities. Mm-hmm. And all you get to do is park some cars, people. But the teams get to be very wealthy, and it's players. I didn't say I had a problem with that. I just said, why off the backs of us? Why? And so you need to understand people are going to continue to take care of that 1.1%. It's 0.001%. But what 99%? And if you think by not saying anything that you'll become that, I need to give you a rude awakening. Unless you're a billionaire already, you're not in that category. You're just not there. I didn't say you might not become, might not get there, but I'm looking at today's perspective. If you don't have $1 billion sitting in your account, at least a billion, you're not in that 1%. So the rest of us, wake up. Just wake up and understand they're catering to the most affluent individuals in the country and in the city with your own money. You're the one paying the taxes. What happened to the guy, Amazon owner? How much did he make? $11 billion? And he didn't pay no income taxes last year? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello, everybody. Now you tell me what
tax.
I mean, I don't know what to say to the community. What will it take for you to recognize the way you're living? You're allowing it to be dictated by people that you've elected or not elected. Why would you give that to strangers? Why? Why would you not say anything? And they're hoping that you don't. So they can continue with the dog and pony show. I got a sign that says my community is worth more than a hamburger and a hot dog. And I have a sign. And when I go places where they have these little meetings, some of the community forum, where you have to write your questions down, and then they pick and choose which questions they want to ask. Well, they're never going to ask my question. I come prepared. I know how to do a silence protest with a doggone sign. A sign can go a long way. I just hold it up. When I got one that said, no more lies. I don't want to hear it. And some people, here she go again. What have I done? It's within my right, my First Amendment right, freedom of speech. But I'm not saying anything. It's a sign. So evidently, what I'm doing as far as my engagement is agitating you because I am speaking the truth. Because if it was not right or was it incorrect, I would stop or you would have done did something. But it's share with individuals to take your power back. So if you want your streets paved, if you want to take it back. Call your county commissioner. Call the person over the streets and drainage. Call Lisa Henry for the city of Orlando. I got them on speed now. Call them. Build a relationship with them. Because when you call the staff, what's it? Ms. Gelder called. Well, what Ms. Gelder calling for? Ms. Gelder calling because while y'all was doing all kinds of repairs on Westmoreland, they were coming down Lee Avenue. You need to come and pave this again because I see semi-trucks coming in a residential area. And it's destroying what little we have. Did they pave it? Absolutely.
Yeah. And a good county commissioner will respond. I can tell you that from experience. A good one will.
A good one will.
Yeah. Good one, Will. Thank you. Really appreciate your time today. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it was last minute, and I know you probably had a lot more to say, but I appreciate you helping us get a little insight. And I hope you get some more people on board, you know, showing up at those meetings and you know, holding up those signs and whatever else that needs to be done because it needs to be – it does. It needs to be more than just one. Because I'm kind of known for that too. You're not alone with that, but the thing is, there needs to be more. There really does. So.
I totally agree with you. But it was my pleasure, and that's for Bruce. Because Bruce Antone, when he called, I move.
All right. Thank you,
all
Bruce.
Right.
thank you, Lana.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And thank you all for listening. Before we go, just want to pay tribute to John Singleton. His passing is 51 years old. This coming month, starting tomorrow, is National Stroke Awareness Month, and our community does suffer at higher rates than others. Please, please take care of yourselves, and please go get checked, and please, you know, work on creating awareness of the impact of strokes in our community, in terms of African American communities, but in the community at large. We all have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. So, tribute to John Singleton and the impact that he had on blacks in the entertainment business. Also, tomorrow marks beginning of my third year doing G's Power Hour. Thank you for being on this ride with me, and I want you to let me know, go to the G's Power Hour Facebook page, let me know what topics you want to have addressed, speakers that you want to have, and everything like that. Anyway, have a blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what's thrown at me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over like a game of little.